This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'm reading to you my blogs that I shared when I was recently in Israel. I'm just home. And I'm using them as a place to kind of bounce off from, to share you some things that I learned and saw and witnessed while I was there. We call this the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast because the Lord said to me, I'm going to do like I did with Paul. Acts 26, he spoke to me and said, you're going to be a witness. So I'm a witness of the things he does, and I'm supposed to go back and tell other people about them, so I have to be a faithful witness to you. I'm skipping over today to our March 27th, 2012 blog and urgent prayer request. I'm putting this next to when we first arrived in Israel, they were firing rockets in from the Gaza Strip. Now, when we left Israel, there was another threat. There's a threat all around. And I want to begin by reading, you should read Jeremiah 30 and 31. It will give you just succinctly God's plan for Israel in the last days. He said, the days will come, verse 3, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them, that's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And he says, I am with you, verse 11, to save you, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered you. He says, I'm going to bring you. And then, I don't like this verse, but it's there. Jeremiah 30, 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. There's a turning away, it seems like, against the land of Israel in the last days. That's why we want to make sure we don't turn away from him. The Jews feel now in Israel that they have one friend left, really, and that's the evangelical Christians. And they're counting on us to elect people, to champion their cause in the halls of our government, that we would bless Israel. And we must do this so that the United States can be blessed. For it is written in Jeremiah 30:16, all that devour them shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee I will give for a prey. Jeremiah 30 and verse 20, the last of that verse, and I will punish all that oppress them. Now, going down into chapter 31 and verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, keep him, keep him, guard him, as a shepherd does his flock. Well, the wolves are out after Israel, and I'm skipping over to the last day. Now, normally we would have been in the north first, and then we would have come to Jerusalem last. But we went to Jerusalem first because we were going to unite with Christians United for Israel and Brother John Hagee, and we were going to have 1,000 people, which we did, marching in the streets, even with Israel's neighbors all against them. There were we, 1,000 Christians strong, with banners from every state in the Union saying, we stand with Israel. And I'm telling you, the people cried. The people along the way, they were so thankful. Young girls and old women and old men cried to think that someone was for them. I remember Ronnie Levy's daughter. She's now in the Army. Yara just has gone in. But I remember when she was about 12 or 13, she said to her daddy, why do they hate us just because we're Jews? And I'm going to read you more about those little school children that were shot in France just because they were Jews. We'll come to that later. But now I'm skipping over to the last day. to tell where God had us on Monday, March 26th. This was our Golan Day, and we toured around Israel's borders. First, we drove up the border with Lebanon, and then we went to Syria's border. First we drove up the border of the Jordan Rift. We drove up from Jerusalem. We drove up, or an Ariel, really. We drove up and along the Jordan Rift Valley, a deep valley between Israel and Jordan. And, of course, there we could look over to Jordan, and we could pray concerning Jordan. They don't have any neighbors that are friendly to them. To the north, then, they have Syria. And we went up the Syrian border, and we stood in the place called the Valley of Tears. Now, in the Valley of Tears, Ronnie Levy there very beautifully always tells us about a key battle. It was the first battle of the Yom Kippur War in 1973. The Yom Kippur War, on Yom Kippur, that's when Syria and Egypt attacked them, and then eventually Jordan. They attack them on the day when all Jews are in the synagogue and don't answer their phones. And the way that Israel had to recruit its army, most of their army are reserves. And you serve in the army, young men serve in the army 3 years, girls serve 2 years, and then the young men have to stay in the reserve service. I think now it's about 45 years old, 40 or 45. And so they have to, these reservists, they have to stay up to date. So every month, there's a month out of every year that they're going to be in, keep their skills up to date. And so in 1973, that's the day that they go to the synagogue. They don't talk on phones. They pray all day long. It's the Day of Atonement, when their sins are pushed off for another year, according to the Torah. And so it was 1973, and the young men from the services had been sent home so that they could go to Yom Kippur. But there was a up on the north then, on this valley, across this valley, the Valley of Tears. It's a place that tanks can go, on the Golan. And Syria came with vast amounts of tanks. There was a hero, Avigdor Kahalani. You can even read the story of this great battle that was fought there. He had to use the cooks and others that didn't even know how to drive tanks to get in those tanks and fight. He used all kinds of deception to deceive these Russian tanks that were coming. They were Syrian manned, but they had come from Russia. They had night vision even. It was quite a battle. And to tell you the real truth, Israel's very existence, had it not been for God and had not been for his hand upon them, its very existence was threatened during this war, the Yom Kippur War, 1973. Eventually, Golda Meir, Moshe Dayan, the leaders of Israel, had to resign because they did not read the signs that they were about to be attacked. And so we went and stood there at that valley, the Valley of Tears. I'm telling you, the border with Syria is not very far from where we stood. Oh, I don't know. I'm not very good at measurement. But you could walk there, easily walk there, except there are landmines planted everywhere, and you wouldn't want to cross that border. On the Syrian side, it's vastly implanted with landmines. But we stood there and prayed and stood all the people who were with our group. We had three busloads, and they were comprised with people who had come from Eagle Mountain Church. Terry and George Pearson's were there. They had come from Mac and Lynn Hammond's church. And they had come through Billy Brim Ministries, and then they had asked me to kind of, you know, coordinate it. And so we did that, and we were such a unit. And all of these people knew how to pray. And what had happened, we were there on Monday, but there was an alert that had gone out for Friday for millions and millions of people to come and smash Israel's borders, to come with throngs of women and children. There's a video, and you can see it. It's on YouTube. Arot Shavu has it too, where this man stood up and called for Gaza women on the Gaza border to be martyrs, to shed their blood. Mothers, shed your blood for Jerusalem. And they really wanted women and children to be shot and killed at those borders. So they were busing people to the borders. But they were calling for something like, I think, 200,000 of them to come. They were calling for 2 million of them to come, excuse me. And 50,000 did come. But I believe that the reason it was by and large a failure was because God had us walking those very borders and praying, and he also had other people around the world praying and walking those borders. As we came, we ended up the day at Misgavam. It was a very windy day, and they called that at Misgavam, this kibbutz. It's on that piece of land that Israel goes up like a finger, and you can stand, and you talk about spitting distance. You can spit over into Lebanon, and you can see these villages, which were formerly an Arab village or a Christian village, but they're now completely Hezbollah. They have no windows in what looks like the home so they can fire missiles through. They have caches of weaponry dug behind each of the houses. And when you stand there, you are standing on Israel, on Iran's front line to the west. We stood on Iran's front with Israel. We prayed as we traveled. And Friday was the 36th anniversary of a day called in the hostile Arab world Land Day. They had a highly advertised call gone out by Facebook and social media for all Arabs to march against, quote, the Judaization of Jerusalem. They called on their people to smash Israel's borders, to smash checkpoints, and they lined up buses from Syria to smash through the northern border. But we had been there, and they were calling for attacks on Jewish places all around the world. It was so funny. This was a funny part of it. We were standing there on that border looking over to Misgavam. And the guy who was standing there, I mean, we're sitting there, we're looking at Hezbollah. And his name is Aryeh, which is lion. He kind of looks like that. He has this big, it's real windy and cold up there. And he has this big fuzzy hair and fuzzy beard. And so I asked him a question. I said, what do you think about Iran's being nuclear? And he replied, I can't believe that the good Lord went to all that trouble to bring us home according to his word after 2,000 years to let us be nuked by that little midget. And his idea was that that was not going to happen. His idea also was that if people came up to that border, he was going to shoot them. And they didn't quite dare up to that border. From that border, they only came as far, some of you that know the area. When the day came for the smashing of the borders, they stayed. They called for the people to stay back at a line at Beaufort Castle. So they knew that wasn't right up against the border with Israel and all that Israel has right there. So they weren't quite ready to die. And so we put out an urgent prayer call. If you're not on our urgent prayer call list, we need your email. So call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or email us and say, you have the right to send me your emails. It's going to be alerts, blogs. Blogs are always posted online. But I do send out urgent prayer alerts by email. So send us your permission to send you by email the things that we send out by email. And also this week we are offering a CD. I came back and shared with our Sunday afternoon prayer group my whole trip. Some of the things I said there, I probably won't be able to say on radio. And the only way you can get it is to get it by mail. So call us at 1-800-972-3447 or write us. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom. Until tomorrow.